But if it's fire dancing, you're going to lose.
I've had quite an illustrious career
in fire dancing
football. Oh, no, fire dancing, I had a very short career with fire dancing.
It's the CougarFan.com Rise and Shop podcast, episode 112. I am your host, Adam Mangum. I'm joined first by Jerem Jordan of BYU TV to talk about a crazy week in BYU sports. He talks to us about Broncos' departure, potential coaching candidates, the Las Vegas Bowl, and Nick Emery's sucker punch. Matt and I then break down the potential football coaching candidates and give our early thoughts on the Las Vegas Bowl. This is the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast. Get all your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. Follow us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Rise and Shout. And listen to us yap right now. Welcoming back to the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast, fellow geek, fellow BYU guy, Jerem Jordan. Welcome back.
Sorry, let me put down my calculator and glasses. Hey, what's up, man?
If you could, and your pocket protector.
My trapper keeper.
My trapper keeper, yes. Hey, geeks rule the world now, man. Speaking of geeks, I am assuming you saw the trailers for the two, I think the two biggest superhero movies for next year, being Batman vs. Superman's probably the biggest, and then the Captain America / Avengers 3. So tell me, let's start with Batman vs. Superman. Mixed reactions there on the internet on that one. What was your take?
Oh, I'm not super picky with this because it all looks awesome. I mean, you have Doom? I don't know a ton about the comics. I'm more of a movie guy with these, but Doomsday, I guess, and Wonder Woman comes in, and it just looks fun, man. Like, and it looks dark. Which I think DC Comics is going to differentiate itself from Marvel a little bit in that way. Marvel has always been a little more family-friendly, whereas DC was a little more edgy. But it looks cool, man. And Captain America, that looks awesome as well. And those are coming up quick. I read today that the third Star Trek movie trailer is coming out in connection with Star Wars. So that'll be awesome.
Oh, yes.
I can't wait, man.
Yeah, it's gonna be quite a geeky year. Heck, just a couple weeks from now, I'll be sitting 10 days from now in a theater with my kid watching Star Wars. So, you know,
amazing.
But there has been a lot of going on in BYU sports land since the last time we recorded, Jerem. We had you on about a month ago. A lot has happened. So let's start there first with the biggest news of the week that eclipsed everything else. Nick Emery is very grateful for that. Bronco resigns, takes the job at the University of Virginia. How big of a shock was this to you as someone that was close to the team, and how big of a shock do you think it was to the broader BYU community?
I think a shock for both me and everyone else. I'm not shocked that he took another job, because he had interviewed with or applied for or had interest in UCLA, Oregon State, and Wisconsin the last couple of years. So it's not a shock that this happened at some point, but that it happened at all and when it happened, completely shocked. Did not hear a single thing about this from anybody, inside sources, whatever. I like to think that I'm on the outside of the inside, if you will. I did not hear anything about this. And so that part was shocking. I don't blame him. I think the Tyler Haws effect is in full effect, where people really appreciate him. Today on BYU Sports Nation, I said, the whole fire Bronco crowd, I don't hear them. I think that everyone realizes, oh, wow, we're losing a good coach. And whoever BYU brings in, they'll have some big shoes to fill. I mean, he won 99 games in 11 years, never had a losing record, made a bowl game every year, won a couple conference titles. There were some nice wins in there. Yes, BYU can get to the next level, you'd like to hope, but guess what? BYU chooses to play and recruit with one hand tied behind its back with the honor code, and Bronco understood the system and did extremely well, was producing draft picks occasionally, lots of undrafted free agents, was competitive on the national level, got ranked every couple of years. I don't think that's the best BYU can do, but that's pretty stinking good.
Yeah, and if you look back historically, it can get worse than where Bronco was.
Yeah.
So, heck, even the last few years of Lavelle's tenure, he finished with a 6-6 season. So Bronco's gone. Of course, all the usual names of the fire Bronco crowd hashtag Fire Bronco crowd are out. Do you have any clue, and do you think there is a front runner, or do you think maybe because this was a little bit of a surprise that this is going to take them a while to figure out who's the right one, because this is not like any other job in the country?
That's right. I do think that BYU is going to come up with it quicker than people think. I think that the general consensus is like, oh, end of the month. I think that BYU is going to have a new head coach before the bowl game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. End of the month. No way. They'll do it faster than that.
Yeah, yeah. I think there are some strong candidates. Like, I don't know where Daryl Bevel fits in all this, the Seahawks offensive coordinator. I don't know where Lance Anderson fits in all this. Kalani Sitake, you'd think, would be a legit candidate. Kenyu Matulolo, maybe said coach. Robert and I think they'll at least give the time of day. I think that they would consider him. I don't know that that's the best PR move, but from a familiarity standpoint and within the program, that would make sense. But there's some good candidates there. The Niumatalolo question is, does he bring the triple option? Kalani Sitake is he ready, you know, to be a head coach? Lance Anderson is, could he bring the Utah Valley and Salt Lake Valley kids that he's, you know, taking to Stanford with him, you know, in a couple of years? So it's intriguing. I'm really interested, and I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of the week BYU had the guy in place. I really think they're in a in the correct way. If there's such a thing as being in a hurry in the right way, I think BYU is.
Well, I mean, in a hurry is one thing. The other thing is the pool of potential candidates is naturally limited. So
I think it's six. I think there are only six realistic dudes.
And so the six are Ken, Anderson, Sitake, Anai, who am I missing? Bevel?
Niumatulolo, and Bevel.
Okay. All right. So there's our six. And we'll see if some crazy candidate we're not thinking of pops out there, but I doubt it. I doubt it. So one of the questions I've seen bouncing around Twitter, and was actually one of the first things I thought when I got the news, which basically blew up my entire evening. When the news came out, and my brothers are texting me nonstop, and my wife is like, "Put that back." What is Taysom going to do? Does this open the window for him to walk away with a very clean break as a grad at some other program?
Could be. I think that some guys go to BYU independent of who the coach is, because they want to be at BYU, and we all know why BYU is unique, and it's not for everybody, but it's really the place for a lot of people. Like me personally, I was like set on BYU or bust, right?
Yeah.
Didn't think I was going to get in. I got in. I didn't care about what programs they had or anything. I was like, I'm going to BYU because I want to be there. I think that Taysom Hill is a BYU guy. I mean, is there a chance he goes to Virginia and follows Bronco? Yes. But I am of the opinion that he's going to come back to BYU, and then BYU figures it out from there. I'm not sure this affects Jamal Williams and Taysom Hill. Maybe it does. Who knows what they're thinking? But I think they both have connections to BYU too strong to pull away.
Well, I will tell you, if it is, and I never say his last name right, the Navy coach, you could run a pretty good triple option with Taysom Hill.
Oh, please don't run a triple option at BYU.
Oh,
I bet I'm almost saying, listen, Ken, if you're the head coach here, we're not running the triple.
We're not running the
triple. And that's all he's done. I mean, like the last 20 years, I don't know what he did at UNLV for a 3-year span, but the last 20, 25 years, Niumatulolo ran a triple option at Hawaii. He ran it at Navy. He's run it at Navy forever. He's not the offensive coordinator anymore. He has someone else doing that before him, but I don't see BYU running the triple option.
No.
I could see him being the coach and BYU not running the triple option.
Yes, because I think that's the only possibility. I'm with you. I don't think Homo's going to say, if you come, you can't bring that particular thing with you. So let's flip over to the bowl game. Of course, also my phone blew up during church because I have afternoon church, and my brothers didn't worry about that.
I didn't pay attention during Elder Scorm, I'll be honest.
Well,
I did not.
I'm the primary music leader, so unfortunately, you know, me not paying attention could be a hazard to my health or others. But so they're texting me, and it's Utah, and you can kind of see this. I think most BYU fans I've seen on Twitter that I've talked to are excited to get a shot at the Utes with Broncos' last game, but there seem to be some that and one of my brothers is in this camp, who don't really enjoy the rivalry that much, and we're kind of enjoying the 2 years off. So where do you think, as a whole, most BYU fans are sitting?
I feel like most BYU fans are very excited about it. I mean, there's some who are negatively affected by, outspoken Utah fans that are maybe near them or friends with them. And that I could see where that would get annoying. But BYU fans are equally annoying, you know, with Utah people. Like, there's give and take. I think that most fans are very excited because, one, it's an interesting game, and two, I said this today. I don't think that outside of a championship game situation for a conference, national champion, whatever, this is as big as it gets outside of that situation. Broncos last game in Vegas where BYU fans can get there against the Utes.
Yeah.
It's the biggest game BYU's played in a couple of years.
Yeah. Well, and you look at a lot of the, you know, some of the news sites have started their ranking of bowl games, and this one is usually in a top 10, which if we were playing Washington State, it would not be in the top 10.
Yeah, and there are 400,000 bowls, so that's pretty good.
Yes, there are. There'll be a couple of bowls with 5-7 teams, Jerem. Isn't that exciting?
Two of which BYU beat, Nebraska and San Jose State.
Yeah,
so BYU played eight bowl teams of their 11 FBS teams.
Yes, and Nebraska and San Jose, especially San Jose State, should be nowhere near a bowl game. Nothing personal.
Yeah.
They're not very good.
Yeah.
So the matchup is there. Do you think Utah comes in? I mean, my first thought about Utah, if I'm sitting there as a Utah fan, this is a kind of no-win scenario for Utah, because if they win, they're supposed to. They're, you know, the Pac-12 team. They've got a probably better ranking using computers and that kind of thing. Vegas has them as a favorite. But if they lose, then they have to put up with it, but to losing to BYU, who they should have beat in theory. But the flip side is, in a few months, you get to take another shot. So it's not like it will be that long. Well, what do you think Utah was thinking? Besides, of course, for everybody, ticket sales would be great for this one.
Yeah, Utah, I mean, they were left in no man's land because Washington State, albeit a game worse overall on the record, 8-4, was picked up by the Sun Bowl. They wanted Washington State. They haven't been in a bowl game in a while. Their fans are going to travel. Mike Leach's more interesting than a Utah without their starting running back, and who had fallen from grace. Utah, in a way, is BYU 2009. The Cougars were ranked high. Game day was there. Lost a couple games. Fell out of the national conversation. That is Utah right now, except BYU didn't have a major injury. They just lost. Utah now plays BYU, and this one, you're right. This is arm wrestling a girl. It's a lose-lose situation, right? And unfortunately, you know, BYU is the girl in this situation, I guess. But I see it as an opportunity for BYU. Guess what? BYU is playing without their starting running back, too, and their starting quarterback, for goodness sake. So those Covey's out, whoever else is out, you know what I mean? Let's just play the game, and let's just see what happens. Utah and BYU will tangle again in game two next year, but BYU certainly needs to win this game. I can't think of a game in which they'll be more motivated and more ready to play. Talent could be better in a given year in the future, whatever. This is a game that BYU has to win.
Yes, this is I agree with you, but not for the reason some are saying on Twitter, like this will tarnish Broncos' record necessarily, because I think 10 years from now, no one will remember whether he won this last game or not. It will make a difference this month, but mainly just because it's been a while since BYU has beaten Utah in football. So this is their chance on a big stage. So let's flip to a sport where BYU did not beat Utah. And, of course, the big controversy in the game was Nick Emery's sucker punch, and I don't hesitate to call it that. So I have been a defender in other situations of BYU players who've been vilified. Heck, I have no problem with the trying to punch the ball, though somehow Deadspin thinks that Longy's trying to kill somebody. I don't really have, sometimes in those fight situations when a brawl starts, it's not excusable, but if you've ever been in a big fight like that, things, you know, people react differently. This is in a different class, Jerem, than some of those other incidences. What did you make of it, and how do you think BYU is going to handle it, going forward with their budding star freshman.
Yeah, I thought it was dirty. Yeah, I thought it was cheap, and I think anyone that says otherwise isn't acknowledging what happened. And it's unfortunate because I know Nick Emery, and that is a good dude. Like, he is genuinely a good, nice guy. But when he goes on the court, a switch flips. How about that?
I liked it better the other way, actually.
Yeah.
A switch flip.
Either one. Pick one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
A flip switches.
And he has Jackson. He's Jackson's brother with more fight. And in high school, he got a bunch of tees. It happened often. He loses his cool a little bit. I think BYU will talk to him. And obviously, this happened, and it's the Vine era, and everyone sees it, and you affect perception, and there are consequences, right? I don't think BYU will, tack on more games to the suspension or anything, but obviously I think that he's learned his lesson, and tomorrow there's media availability for BYU. Tomorrow afternoon, I imagine that BYU will make him available and have him talk about it, and then it's over. It's over from that point until BYU plays Utah next year, and then it's a thing because he's Marshall Henderson on the BYU side.
Yes, he will be villain number one for, well, and quite frankly, probably good fan bases will chant his name and do other things, at least for a while, till they move on to somebody else. The other story for the basketball team, Jerem, has been free throw shooting. You've got Chase Fisher and Nick Emery, and then everybody else stinks. And maybe that's too harsh on Kyle Collinsworth, 64%. But wow, Jerem, I mean, we're talking about three significant players under 50% free throw shooting. What is this going to just be a problem fans and the coaches are going to have to deal with? Or can we expect Kyle Davis, Corbin Kafusi, and others to shoot better from here on out?
Yeah, it is concerning, isn't it? Because we're seven games in, they play 31 regular season games. We're approaching a third of the season already, and that's almost enough volume to say, okay, this is a legit issue. So, yeah, it is a cause for concern, that's for sure, especially if BYU is going to play a little more inside out. And how do you fix it mid-season? What do you do? Well, just shoot some more after practice. There comes a point where in season it's tough to adjust someone's shot. I don't know how you fix it. To be honest, that's why they paid Dave Rose a little bit more than I do.
Yes. Well, I don't know your salary or his specifically, but I'm guessing that's true, Jerem. They probably
I did not donate to the Marriott Center Annex, so that just tells you that.
You did not. Me either. That's weird.
I donated 265 hours of unbiased free content.
Oh, there you go. See, look
by
at
unbiased,
that.
I mean biased.
By unbiased, you mean very pro BYU, but still awesome content, right?
Something like that, yeah.
So, Jerem, let's get you out on this one because I probably won't talk to you beforehand. Just curious on your feeling on the national, the college football playoff, not the four teams, which I think actually there's a fairly good consensus around that, but playing them on New Year's Eve. Last year was like magic with it on New Year's. How do you feel about New Year's Eve? Is that okay with you, or do you think that's they're gearing for lower ratings?
I think they're going to take a ratings hit because the games last year were the most viewed cable shows of all time, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. I don't like it on New Year's Eve. I'm going to watch all of them no matter what anyway.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I'm going to be in the friend circles who appreciate the game to the point where I'm going to watch those.
Well,
and I'm actually going to be separated from family, so I'll get to probably watch those.
Yeah, I will. I will choose our companions for New Year's Eve, very specifically based on if they're not into football. Then, unfortunately, this year they're not on the list. So
yeah, it'll be fun. I wish that they just did January 2nd instead of New Year's Eve, but they call it the New Year 6. I think the 2nd is still tied into that. That's all right.
Yeah, yeah, they play them on the 2nd when the 1st falls on a Sunday, right? Because they don't historically didn't want to do that.
They'll go
NFL.
Saturday, Monday in that case.
Yes. So I don't know. We shall.
And who
see.
Knows? It rotates so much with dates and bowls, and it's hard to know. Like this year, there's what, three games available for, at large. ability, and then I think next year there's only one. So let's say
right.
it was last year it was five. So let's say based on conference affiliation in a given year and whatnot. So that let's say next year BYU has this incredible year, and they only lose one game. They're probably not going to be in a New Year's Six.
I know.
That's just because of the bowl rotation.
It's the whole system. I mean, as better as it's gotten with the four playoff, which I think is the right number, and they've got it right. Man, that bowl rotation thing. I mean, I doubt 1 out of 10 college football fans even knows what you're talking about. They just kind of.
That's exactly right.
They just kind of wake up on the day when they announce the bowls, and okay, everybody's in a bowl. So it's kind of crazy. Well, Jerem, thanks for coming on the podcast in this big week in BYU sports. Merry Christmas to you, buddy, and we'll have you on again sometime soon.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure.
Matt, CougarFan.com, Rise and Shout podcast. Wow, it's been a week.
What just happened?
I have no idea. But before we get to that, Matt, I've got something important to talk with you about.
Is this like a very awkward, very special episode of the Rise and Shout podcast?
Matt, do you have hair? No, never mind.
please edit that out.
So, Todd on Twitter, that's at Todd and D. Bigger deal, Matt, Star Wars on the 18th, I'm actually going on the 17th, or the Vegas Bowl on the 19th. Are those 2 days better than the 24th and 25th this year? That's a tweet bag question, Matt.
So wait, the question is the sequence of the 17th and 18th bigger than the 24th and 25th?
No, I think the question is a two-parter. What's bigger, the Star Wars opening or the Vegas Bowl? And then, second part, I believe, if I'm interpreting this correctly, is are those 2 days this year better than Christmas Eve and Christmas? He is asking for us to get sacrilegious way earlier than we usually do on this podcast.
Yeah, we usually don't do that till about 40 minutes in.
Yeah, about 40.
But I'm going to go ahead and say this. Bigger deal, Las Vegas Bowl. Bigger deal, Christmas. I got four kids, man.
Yeah,
Christmas
yeah.
is the best.
Yeah, so kids. So I'm going to disagree with you on the first. Shocker.
Yeah, I don't even know what to do with that.
I'm going to say Star Wars over Vegas Bowl. And I am taking way too long answering the second part of this question. I'm going to go with Christmas Eve and Christmas. Because I'm not sure
you
I want
You are like it. Legitimately not sure.
I'm pretty darn excited for Star Wars, dude. We have watched, as a family, all six movies. Yeah. Yeah, we have.
I'm speechless.
So, though...
Actually, I'm probably going to do that at some point in the next couple weeks. It's going to have to be some type of marathon.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, we did skip episode 3 with some of the little kids. Having Anakin kill children is probably a little much for small children.
Yeah, probably.
Just saying. So, Matt, let's jump
parent
in.
Parent of the year right there.
What's that?
Your parent of the year right there.
I'm running for it. I'm running for it. I believe I'll have at least one vote. She's 18 months. So, Matt, let's jump into the CougarFan.com. Cougars in the news.
Cougars in the news!
So women's volleyball advanced to their fourth straight Sweet 16, Matt, beating Western Kentucky in three straight sets. They are moving in, and I think, we'll see. They obviously have a big game. I'm trying to, my computer is slow. Hello, slow computer.
User error.
User. What? What did you just say? User error? Really?
I didn't say that.
Huh. This is a guy that has trouble turning his microphone on. Huh.
That happened one time.
They're against number 4 Nebraska in Lexington on Friday. So good luck to the BYU women's volleyball team. Matt, another exciting thing is the women's basketball team, after having kind of a rough start early to the season, have kind of bounced back from that. They've won four straight, including a 72-64 win over number 11 Texas A&M in Hawaii.
Hey, I got to love any win over the Aggies.
Yes, I know.
I'm just going to go ahead and throw that in right there.
I know your feelings about, as a Texas resident, about Aggie fans.
You know, I do have to be careful because I have a friend who's an Aggie who's been listening to the podcast for the past couple of weeks because I promised him I would say something about Texas A&M. I don't think he's going to be pleased with the way this conversation turned out.
It's okay. It's all right. We love Johnny Manziel around here, right?
You know, part of the way this works out for me is the very first BYU football game I saw in person was the 1996 BYU-Texas A&M game in Provo.
Oh, there you go.
And I think that really shaped my worldview.
Yes, I can understand that. Yep. Matt, crazier, Johnny Manziel's behavior this year or the coaching staff of the Cleveland Browns yanking him around like a yo-yo?
I feel like the two things are so closely related, I couldn't differentiate between
the
two.
I'd say it's the coaching staff.
What are they doing? What is going on?
I don't know. You can't say one week he missed what he missed, slept in or whatever. He is not going to play again this year. We're done with him. And then a week later say, well, he might be our starter next week. Like, you know, just punish the guy for a game and say that, right? He's not going to play this next game. You know, don't make an idiot out of yourself, right?
Well, the other, you know, I think they get to a place though where they've got to find out.
They've got to find out
what he's got.
You've got to play him. To me, there's no question. He has to be played. You spent a high round draft pick on him. You have no other quarterback on the roster who's a potential quarterback of the future. You got to figure out if you need a quarterback this offseason. And he hasn't played long enough.
You haven't had a good enough look at him to know if he's your future or not.
No, and I don't know. I don't believe he is a future star NFL quarterback, but I could be wrong. You know what I mean? I thought Alex Van Pelt was going to be a star, Matt.
You were way off.
I was way off on that one. But I have to say, I was also a big backer of Ben Roethlisberger. He's turned out all right at the NFL level, so.
Okay.
You win some, you lose some. So, Matt, good luck to the BYU women's basketball team going forward. They've got some momentum going on right now. So, Matt, let's get into the news that has been shaking the world. This has been a crazy 5 days since we last recorded. We were recording during the Utah game, and when we stopped recording, it was halftime. BYU was getting demolished. They came back and made it a game towards the end. We'll get to that here in a minute. But the big news this weekend was Bronco leaves BYU to take the coaching job at the University of Virginia. Matt, on a scale of 0 to 100, when you heard that news, how surprised were you? 100 being completely surprised, 0 being, well, duh. Everybody knew that.
If I would have woken up tomorrow morning with my head sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be any more surprised than I am right now.
So that's 100? Is that what you're saying?
And I think I've just decided that over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to weave Christmas movie quotes into our discussions. But
yes.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now, I was really surprised. You know, I got the news, was crazy about it, as I was out running some errands, and I got a text message from our nephew, and it just said, what just happened? And I was like, what do you mean what just happened? And then immediately there was texts from you and our brother Don about something about, if y'all haven't been on Twitter in the last 10 seconds, you might want to check that out. And Twitter just exploded. My phone almost exploded. I thought it was going to stop functioning like Broncos did.
Yes. It was crazy. It made for a crazy evening. Matt, I don't know if I was 100, but I was way surprised. I kind of figured that Bronco would leave at some point. He'd been potentially interviewing the last few years for a few jobs. I just thought at this point it would be another season or two. In some ways, maybe this was easy to predict in that Taysom and Jamal's senior year could have been his going out party, right?
Right.
Unfortunately, that didn't play out exactly like that, but the season ended up being at least a better season than he's had over the last few. So, Matt, I was surprised. What is Bronco's legacy? If you could sum it up in kind of a short, you know, paragraph, what is Bronco's legacy as a head football coach at BYU?
You know, I think that's tough. You know, for me, I would kind of capture it in the way that the players responded when he became the head coach. And there were players on the offensive side of the ball that were kind of weren't sure if they wanted to come back and play because he used to just drive the defense into the ground, right, in practice, and kind of installing that feeling around the program, I think is part of the legacy. You know, I think that, you know, there's going to be fans who will tell you, you know, his legacy is he won all the games he was supposed to win, but he couldn't quite get over the hump. But if you look at this, I mean, overall, the Bronco Mendenhall stretch with BYU has been pretty successful. And, you know, he's won a lot of games. Hopefully we'll get number 100 here in a couple of weeks. Strong defenses. So, you know, I think that's really the legacy I see.
Right, right. Well, Matt, I started looking at, you know this, I have ranked every season of BYU football since Lavelle Edwards took over. And if you look at the top 10 seasons of all time at BYU, by my rankings, two of those 10 are by Mendenhall, the other 8 are by Lavelle. And Croton doesn't appear till number 17 on the list. So Mendenhall has
seems high.
5. Oh, that 2001 season was pretty good. The rest of his seasons are down near the bottom. And Mendenhall only has, by my accounting, 2 bad seasons, I'll call them. And they happen to be his first season and that 7-6 disastrous 2010 season. So you look at that, you know, I think his legacy is, they're not going to name the stadium after him, right? That Lavelle Edwards Stadium is in no risk of being renamed Bronco Mendenhall Stadium, right? But that doesn't have to be the only way to have a good legacy, right? You don't have to be the guy. He was there for a lot fewer years than Lavelle. The program, though, was not in a great shape when he took it over, wasn't a non-entity like it was when Lavelle took it over, right? So,
right, but if you look at like what he did in the first 6 years, I mean, that's a very impressive stretch.
It is quite an impressive stretch, Matt.
His
first 5 seasons are, let's go, so, you know, the 2005 season, obviously 6-6, not a great year. 11-2, 11-2, 10-3, and 11-2. That 4-year stretch rivals any 4-year stretch in BYU history.
Well, and ranks in the top 25 each of those 4 years?
Yes. Ranked in the top 25, got high in a couple of those years up in that group. Now, since then, of course, it's been somewhat mediocre. It's 7-6, 10-3 against a pretty weak schedule. I think those 8-5 teams are actually better than people think they are because of the strength of schedule and other factors in there. And then last year was pretty mediocre. You add in this season, 9-3, potentially 10-3. If he goes out with a win against Utah, Matt, is this his 5th best season maybe? As a coach, it goes up at least in conversation with some of his 10-3 seasons, right?
Yeah, I think it gets up into that conversation, but I still am not sure that it's top 5. It's probably the 6th best season, coming in behind either 2008 or 2011.
Yeah,
I think it comes. I think it finishes behind 2011.
But certainly, it's certainly the best. It would be ending on a pretty good note, regardless. Matt, I will say it this way. He does not have to beat Utah to have a good legacy at BYU. So
no, at this point, you know, 150 games in, that's a game.
Yes. If you're on Twitter saying that, I'm just going to just go out and say it. Stop. That's stupid. There's one game at the end of his career. If that's the case, well, Lavelle was 6-6 in his last year. He stinks. You know what I mean? Like, come on. It's a body of work judgment, not a point in time. So, Matt, next head coaches.
Oh, boy.
Actually, before we get to the head coaches, no, I'll save that for after this. Head coaches, Matt, there are a bunch of candidates that are floating around Twitter some of them realistic, some of them not. Let's go one by one, and I'm going to give you percent chance this person would consider the job if offered it. Okay?
Okay. Not would consider the job if offered it, not that they would end up being the person.
Correct. Correct. They were the one offered the job, and would they say yes, percent chance? We'll start with Ken Niumatalolo, right? Did I say that right? I said that right.
Niumatalolo, you did all right.
Yeah, I did all right. That's not the worst I've done, but not the best. He is, of course, the head coach of Navy, has been featured in a Mormon documentary you may have heard of.
Meet the Mormons.
Meet the Mormons.
I've met some Mormons.
I have met a few Mormons in my day. So, Matt, percent chance if he was offered the job, do you think he would take it?
45%.
I was going to say 40.
You know, I don't know how much different this really is, the BYU situation is, from his Navy situation. I don't know how much money he makes at Navy. I know there's some numbers that people float around, but I think that's a piece of it. I just don't know what the incentive would be for him to leave Navy for this job. I think there are jobs that he's way more likely to leave Navy for. I just don't know how high BYU gets on the list for him.
Yeah. The thing to me is, it is Vanquish the Foe did an excellent job. The case against, my internet is slow tonight. James E. Taylor on Vanquish the Foe talked about the case against him. And it was the exact same case I had in my head, which is two things. He's run the same offense for like 20 years. Now, granted, he's not the offensive coordinator today, but he's ran the same offense for 20 years. I have no interest in this option offense, right? Next year, in theory, you could run it if Taysom Hill stayed. And then after that, it's a disaster with our quarterback, Mangum's transferring, you know what I mean? Like, this is not good. But maybe that's not a factor for him. Maybe he says, no, I'd hire an offensive coordinator to run a pro-style spread offense, okay? The flip side is, I don't know if he's any good at anything that you really need to be good at to be at BYU. In this piece, James Taylor talks about, can he recruit? Because recruiting, though it's different at BYU, it is really different at Navy. You're not sitting there in a room trying to convince people to come play football at Navy, picking between that and Michigan. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a different animal.
Very different animal. So, Matt, I'm with you on that. Is he your top candidate or a top three candidate for you?
No, he's not.
He's not for me either.
Well, because for me, I just want to make clear as we're going through this. For me, when I say if I put somebody in that top three candidate box, I need a combination of I think that they're a good fit for the job, and I think they're likely going. I think they would likely take it.
Okay. Yeah. That is I agree with you. I'm using very similar criteria for my top three. Next candidate I'm going to mention, Matt, is Robert Anai, who we're very familiar with. You're a big fan. I believe you're the president of his fan club.
I'm not mistaken.
You're the president of something. He's the current offensive coordinator, national champion, Matt, 1984, on that team.
He's won more national championships than I have.
That is not correct. You have won many in NCAA football. I believe dozens upon dozens.
If you count EA Sports NCAA football, I have beat him. That's correct.
Yes, because I don't think he plays that. But if it's fire dancing, you're going to lose.
I've had quite an illustrious career
in fire
NCAA
dancing?
Football. Oh, no, fire dancing, I had a very short career with fire dancing.
So Matt, I'm totally lost here. Percent chance Robert and I takes the job if offered.
100%.
I wouldn't say 100, but I'd say 90.
There is some level of doubt?
Yes, because he knows everything that it is to be the coach of BYU, and maybe there's part of him that says, if I do become a head coach, I don't want to do it here. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know the guy. But I'm going to put it at 90. Matt, is he in your top three?
He's not.
He is for me. Interesting. We'll get to our top three here in a
minute. I'll say this, though. He's closer to my top three than you would think.
Well, I would think he was nowhere near your top three. You ran the guy out of town a few years ago.
For the record, I like Robert and I 2.0 much better than the beta version.
He had better offenses in 1.0, so that's interesting that you say that.
Whatever.
So, yeah, don't let facts get in the way of your point. Yeah,
don't mess me up with facts.
I'm sorry. That was ridiculous. So, Matt, the next one is defensive coordinator at Oregon State and former BYU Cougar Kalani Sitake. Matt, percent chance he takes it if offered. This one I had a hard time with.
I'm going to go and say 75% for Kalani.
I was going to say 70 or 75, so we're in the same boat. Is he in your top three?
He is in my top three.
He is in my top three as well, so this is getting interesting. This is getting interesting.
The thing with Kalani, though, and I'll be honest, when I get in my top three, I waffle a little bit between him and Anai. I'm not joking with you.
Well, it's very different things.
The defense has struggled up there. I know he's still new and all this, but the defense at Oregon State is not great.
No.
They were not great this year.
No, they were not great this year. That is an absolutely fair statement. They were not great this year. But he's been there for how many seasons? One?
Yeah. It's not his guys yet. I get it.
But still, we have to make the decision based on something. I think he would be an excellent recruiter. I think there's some evidence to back that up. I also love his fire, and it'd be kind of cool to have a passionate fire guy as the BYU head coach, which we've never had.
That's right.
Right? Lavelle, same face, winning or losing. Bronco was more emotion.
And he got progressively more emotive.
Yes.
As he got more secure in his situation.
Yes. Yes. Agreed. So, Kalani Sitake. Matt, here's one that I think we're going to agree on. Head coach of the University of Utah and former BYU Cougar, Kyle Whittingham. Percent chance he takes the job if offered?
20%.
I'm going to give it a 1%.
I'm putting a lot of stock in the rumored clash between him and Dr. Hill up on the hill.
So what? Why doesn't he wait around for a big job? Because
he could
move to a different P5 school. The wild card here is him and Homo apparently are close, and maybe that plays in a factor. But if I'm Kyle Whittingham and I look at the Pac-12 right now, I say next year I could be in the Final Four.
Yep. Go do that. And then if you want to get out of Salt Lake, you go take the team to the Final Four and then bail.
Go to the NFL as a coordinator. Go get a head coaching job somewhere else in the P5.
Yeah. I don't even know that he's really trying to get out.
I don't know either.
But if he is, that route seems to make a lot more sense.
The reporters, quite frankly, the reporters that are reporting it, I'm not 100% sure they've got the story right. And I don't mean
off-season, everybody's looking for you got to have something to talk about.
Yes. All right. So, Matt, another a guy without a BYU connection, like Ken from Navy. See, I didn't use his last name. Lance Anderson, the defensive coordinator at Stanford. Matt, percent chance he comes. And by the way, Kyle Whittingham is in neither of our top three, correct?
No, he's not in my top three. Because I think the odds of him coming are so small.
Yeah,
but I really wanted Whittingham the first time.
Oh, so did I.
I wanted him bad.
I was all in on Whittingham and was disappointed with Bronco. And I think what we found is both of them are good head coaches, is what it turned out.
Yep.
It would be interesting to see, go back and do an alternate history with Whittingham as the head coach. But life doesn't work that way. So Anderson, defensive coordinator at Stanford. Matt, where a percent chance he gets it if given the chance?
You know, I have no idea how to gauge this one about how interested I think that Lance Anderson would be for this job.
No now, BYU connection.
Right. But interested in the head coaching gig?
Neither did Croton.
You know,
I don't think you're
not going to get a guy who was a head coach in the NFL or a P5 school to come and coach BYU.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Right. So this is the type of candidate you're looking at.
Yes, this is the type of candidate. I'm going to give him 45% with basically no knowledge of, I've got nothing but my gut to tell me that.
I'm going to just go 50-50 because I feel like it's a pick 'em for me. Okay. I just don't know what his level of interest
is. Fair. Is he in your top three?
Yes.
He is in my top three. So we have both, you've got two of your top three and my top three is already revealed. Interesting. So
who's your, wait, so, oh, because Anai was in your top three.
Anai, Satake, and Lance Anderson were my top three. But so we'll get all to yours here in a minute because I think he's the next one up.
There you go.
Daryl Bevel, offensive coordinator for the Seattle Seahawks. No BYU connection, but he is LDS. He's been an offensive coordinator in the NFL for how many years now?
Oh, I was just reading that. A long time.
10? Yeah. 10 years? He has been a hot candidate for potential NFL head coaching jobs the last few seasons due to the success of the Seahawks in getting to a couple of Super Bowls. Matt, percent chance you think Daryl Bevel takes the job if offered?
I'm going to go with 65%.
Wow, that is way higher than me. I'm at 35.
See, I feel like this is a guy who's been interviewed for head coaching positions in the NFL each of the three past off seasons, hasn't quite gotten over that hurdle, and may see this as an opportunity, go down to the NCAA, take a head coaching gig for a few years. If you blow the doors off of that, you come back to the NFL and get your head coaching gig back up there.
Yeah,
It would be a transition job for somebody like him.
Yeah, and heck, for all we know, the guys want a head coaching job at the collegiate level. He wants. I don't know. It seems though a lot of times when NFL guys become NFL guys, that's my worry. Is he considers him an NFL guy and going back to the next level is a step back, right? The same argument you would have when I hear people saying Chip Kelly's going to go back to college. My thing is, I don't think he's going back to college. I think he wants to prove he's an NFL guy.
You know, Spurrier and Saban both did it. Worked out real well for Saban.
It did work out quite well for Saban. For Spurrier, it worked out okay.
It was fine.
Not great.
But he was better off at the college level than in the NFL.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Both times.
That being said, I bet you Saban takes another crack at the NFL someday.
You think he will?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
It's an ego thing, man. It's an ego thing. What else is going to prove at the college level? Is he going to win? Like, now, whenever they don't get into the college football playoff, the season's going to be a failure, right?
But here's the deal. Like, if you're Saban at this point, you are right now, you're like Bear Bryant.
I know.
Right? You're one of the greatest college football coaches of all time at a storied, historic program.
Yeah.
Why would you want to ride out to the sunset by going back to the NFL, fumbling through a couple of seasons, getting fired, and then you come back and try and seek redemption by coaching, you know, South Carolina or somebody for a couple of mediocre years before you finally hang it up? Yeah. And that's not a knock on Spurrier. It really isn't. But if you're Saban, why would you do that to yourself? Why would you take that risk?
I think they have the egos. I mean, look, Pete Carroll did it. He chose to go back into the NFL after a failed NFL stint. Now, that being said, I think Saban was a much bigger disaster in the NFL than Pete Carroll was. Even with us Patriots fans with long memories and can remember Pete Carroll's tenure. But
Pete Carroll was a punchline in New England.
Well, but the flip side is, of course, if you're Pete Carroll, we will stop after this, but if you're Pete Carroll, maybe you were running from something at USC. So it's a little, maybe a different situation. So Matt, Bevel is in your top three, I take it.
He is.
So your top three is Bevel, Satake, and Lance Anderson.
That's correct.
Cool. All right. That's a good top three. I like your top three. Matt, I'm going to mention a few other candidates that I do not think are major candidates for the job. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Jay Hill, head coach at Weber State.
No.
He's not going to get offered the job. Percent chance he takes it if offered.
100%.
100%. Yes, I would agree with you there. Andy Reid, head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, Twitter's favorite BYU coaching candidate for like 10 years now. All right.
I've said it once, and I'm going to say it again and again. Andy Reid is not coming through that door.
No, he is not. He is not coming through the door. He is an NFL guy.
And there is no reason there's only downside for him. I mean, it's just the fact that he still gets into this conversation, the fact that we're even talking about this right now is raising my blood pressure.
Yes, I know. It's ridiculous.
I don't understand the obsession. And there's another guy that's not on the list of people you're going to talk about here that keeps coming up on Twitter that also blows my mind is Ty Detmer.
Oh, my God. I didn't put him on.
Why is Ty Detmer being discussed by anybody?
It's dumb. I mean, this isn't managing a Major League Baseball team where – occasionally picking somebody who's never managed works, right?
Oh my gosh.
You don't do that at a program like BYU. The risk level.
But Adam, he's one of the greatest quarterbacks in BYU football history. How could you possibly say that about him?
Who cares? We had two great quarterbacks at BYU try to be offensive coordinators or quarterback coaches who it didn't stick, right?
If Ty Detmer was going to be a coach, he'd already be on a staff somewhere at this point.
Well,
if that's the way his life was going to go, you wouldn't be pulling him from a deer stand in Texas to come and coach the team, right?
I am with you. Whenever I see this, I don't mean this as an insult to anyone, but I just wonder if they're really the type of fan that follows the sport well. You know what I mean? Like, that's such a, like, well, Ty Demers, he's a name I know. Like, wouldn't you take Jay Hill over him?
Yeah.
At
least Jay Hill is coached.
Yes.
Even at a coordinator level, a Division I program, right?
Yes, yes. So, all right, Matt. Aaron Roderick, offensive coordinator at Utah.
Aaron Roderick, co-offensive coordinator, former passing game coordinator at Utah.
Yes.
Early on in this conversation, as this was going on, I was a bigger fan of Aaron Roderick. He probably would have been higher on my list than he is now. I just don't think he's just not ready. Will he be ready at some point to take a job like this? Yeah, but he's not there now. He's just not the guy at this time.
No, he is not. And again, he's a BYU guy, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe some down the line, is he like a dark horse candidate? If things like they don't get their top two or three, maybe.
Or if he comes into the interview like Bronco did when they were looking for Croton's replacement, and Bronco came in and just crushed the interview.
Away. Yeah.
Right. So could Aaron Roderick do something like that? Really blow them away? Pull something out that, you know, those of us who don't, I mean, I don't know him from anybody else. You know, I've never met him. I didn't play for him. I can look and read up about him, but it's not the same thing. He show in there and pull something out that really shocks the Tom Homo and everybody, and they decide, oh, this is our guy.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, and obviously he has coached under Whittingham and coached with some guys. So he's got some experience. I'm with you. I think it's not enough. I actually have met Aaron Roderick very briefly. When I was at BYU.
Seemed like a good guy?
Yeah, seemed like a nice dude. I mean, we shook hands, said our names. That's the extent. But I don't think he gets offered the job. I think it's 100% if they offer it, though. Right?
Oh, yeah. If they offered him that job, there's no reason for him to say no.
No, you take it.
Unless, you know every once in a while, people make a decision for their career where they're like, you know, it's too early for me to make that jump to that job. And maybe he looks at it that way and decides, but I think it'd be hard pressed to say no if you're him.
This would be true for everybody but an I. Well, that's not true. Satake, it's probably not true. Whittingham. You know, even guys that have played at BYU, they may not want to go back and coach there. There's a lot that goes into being the head football coach at BYU that is so unique that some guys, even if they played at BYU, may say, you know, I want to get to that level, but I'm not sure I want to do that job, you know?
Right.
And I don't know Roderick is one of those guys at all. I'm just throwing that out. So, Matt, I had a tweet bag poll, I'm now calling them, on Twitter.
Tweet bag.
Where I asked people a few days ago which of the assistants they would most like to keep, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So, which of the BYU assistants do you most like to stay? 92 votes in, 39% said Holiday, 32% Papinga, 23% Jason Beck, and then 6% somebody else. Matt, who on that list, if you could only keep one, are you keeping?
Of the list you just read?
Yeah, Holiday, Beck, and Papinga.
Oh, I'm probably keeping Holiday.
I'm keeping Beck. I think he's done an excellent job with the quarterbacks. But, man, I'm close on Papinga and Holiday. I would like to keep all of them, but that's not how this usually works.
No, and I think Holiday maybe goes. But you know what? Is the guys that I feel like I'd really want to keep, you know, there's guys not on your list that I think are must keeps.
Such as?
Robert and I.
You're not keeping Ronai. I don't think.
There's no way. But I think you're going to feel that.
I agree. Changing an offensive coordinator again, I think it will be detrimental to the program in a year. But quite frankly, I think don't you get a mulligan for next season, whoever this is?
That makes me sad. I don't even like thinking about that because that's true.
But the schedule is so tough. Yeah. You know, but that being said, we thought this year's schedule was going to be so tough, and quite frankly, it didn't turn out to be that tough. If you look historically, we've got a lot of other seasons that stack up with that one as far as toughness goes, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, Matt.
What about 2J, the O-line coach?
2J? I don't know. Is the
O-line
that
great? He's done
a great job. I think he has done a good job. I wouldn't put him above any of the other people we've spoken of.
No, but I wouldn't, but I'm just throwing them out
there. Some people threw that out on Twitter when I put it out. Hey, where are we? And I think that 6% other people were in that camp. What I thought was interesting, I left an eye off on purpose. You notice that other group is still just 6%.
Yep.
BYU fans are not – this will – if he gets the head coaching job, BYU Twitter is going to explode.
But you know what? There's a part of me that feels like he's the most likely candidate.
Yeah, people said that about Chow. He never became the coach, but I
and it was going to be Reynolds, right? I mean, it was just like,
yeah, I hear what you're saying. I think that is, you're assuming that Homo's going to make the decision based on who happens to already be in the door in the building. I don't think Homo will approach it that way. He did not, when he hired a basketball coach, he did not, when Mendenhall got hired, I'm just saying that's not how it's actually worked in the past. With Homo, because he's been able to make a few hires, so we kind of know what he does, right?
Yep.
Now, Anai may still be the guy. So they said on Twitter also, I said, who would you hire as BYU's next football coach? I listed Satake Anai. What's his name at Navy? Can you say
Iomatalolo?
There you go. 47% Satake, and Jeff Johnson on Twitter. Jeff, where are you? Jeff Johnston on Twitter said he did a similar poll on Friday or Saturday, and he got 50% Satake. So it seems like the BYU fans are getting behind Satake.
People love Satake. Like you said, he's a fiery guy. He's a BYU guy.
Yeah.
He's had some success at some other schools.
Yeah.
It's not a terrible pick.
No, it's definitely
it's in my
not.
Top three.
And mine as well. So Matt, wow, we are 37 minutes in, and we haven't even gotten to Nick Emery punching somebody. So we'll get to that in a minute. Las Vegas Bowl. This is the perfect situation for the bowl game, right?
Yeah.
The Sun Bowl, or whatever it was, chose Washington State, which I think is insane. But maybe their fans travel better. I don't know.
Really? I mean, I wonder if somebody talked to somebody, right? Because there is no way. Like, if I'm a bowl and I'm looking at teams and I have my choice between the University of Utah and Washington State, like I just straight up can pick between those two, I'm probably taking the Utes.
That's the thing, right? Like, isn't it like, of course you take the Utes, right? Like,
I don't know what happened, but I somebody from ESPN called somebody else. I mean, I'm telling you.
But the thing is, for them, for the bowl game, it is absolutely terrific to have BYU and Utah in the Vegas Bowl for the bowls, right?
You won the lottery.
Yes.
However, if you're the Las Vegas Bowl, you just hit a jackpot.
Yes. However it happened, this is exactly what you needed to happen because it is now a top 10 bowl game.
That's right. It's rated as the ninth best bowl game right now.
Yes, by Yahoo. I've seen other people even have it higher than that. It is a top 10 bowl game. If it's BYU and Washington State, it's a top 20 bowl game.
Right. Right. Not nearly as interesting. And if you, who would have Utah played in the Sun Bowl, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Wouldn't have been it. On a nationally, I don't think it would have been as compelling. But all I want is all royal blue unis against all red unis with white helmets on both sides. That's all I want.
That's it. It should not happen any other way.
That's all I want.
That should not happen any other way. If it does, shame on you, BYU and Utah. Shame on you. So, Matt, are you happy with this opponent, or would you have rather played a different Pac-12 opponent?
I would have rather played a different Pac-12 opponent.
You know, I've been bouncing back and forth, and you know what I've decided? I want this one. I want this one. That's what I've decided. This is a chance for BYU to play another top 40 opponent and for BYU to get another quality win for this year. If you play Washington State, you beat them, it's nice. It's not the rivalry thing to me, it's just the quality of opponent. It was either them or USC, and I never really thought it was realistic we were going to get USC. So,
right, but I would have taken USC over Utah.
I would have.
You just described.
I would have, yes. I would have taken them over. The other stuff is kind of bonus. Matt, I asked on the 0 to Detmer scale, how excited are you to play Utah in the Las Vegas Bowl? Of course, that's our scale given to us by Todd on Twitter. The fans, Matt, are excited. That was 57% said Detmer, 23% said John Beck, 10% said Riley Nelson excited, and 10% said 0. I did, of course, get one Andre Hutchins on Twitter. That's at @AC_Hutchins. He used my version, which is Jim McMahon excited instead of Ty Detmer at the top of your scale.
See, the scale is still – the scale does create some debate, right?
Yes, yes. Well,
I'll tell you what.
Jim Detmer. Jim McMahon's the best quarterback we've ever had. I just don't think it's actually that close. I am
John Beck plus level excited.
Yeah, me too.
Like, this is gonna. It is exciting. It's fun. It'll be great.
Friend of the podcast, John Beck. Go back and listen to our interview with him last week. It was great.
But I am excited about it. I'm not disappointed in any way.
No, not at all.
You know, and it'll be fun. I mean, and we've talked a lot, and I'm sure we'll talk about this in our preview about the rivalry and get in kind of how we feel about the way all that's shaking out. But at the end of the day, it'll be a good game. It'll be a fun game to watch.
Yep, and I think it will be competitive. We'll talk about that next week. Matt, basketball, we don't have much time left, but I wanted to hit 2 points. Hit?
He wants to hit two points.
Bad choice of words. Sorry, Nick. Nick Emery, sucker punch against Utah. It made national news. Heck, Dan Le Batard was talking about it on ESPN. Matt, do you feel like – I think we can all agree it was a dirty play, correct?
Yes.
There's no – like I felt like with Longy's ball punch, he was actually trying to punch the ball and cause a fumble.
There was nothing dirty about that.
There was nothing dirty.
He was punching the football. They teach you to do that. That's basic.
That is basic. The private parts punch earlier this season, of course, was bad. So BYU is getting a little bit of a national reputation, which – I think it's bogus, but that's a whole different podcast. Nick Emery, is one game sufficient?
Yeah.
I don't think it is.
Really?
I suspend the guy for 3 or 4 games. That was a very cheap shot. I don't like that kind of stuff. I just don't. And I know the guy probably was inciting him and whatever else.
That's where I come from. I say this was not just an isolated incident. This wasn't Emery just cold clocking the guy. This wasn't Emery deciding to get him back for the time that he kicked Tyler Haas in the tenders. Or that's the second time I've used the phrase tenders on the podcast.
Yes, it is.
But
yes, it is.
I think the first time was the Boise State game.
Yes,
so,
it was.
But I think that you can't look at the incident just by looking at a 10-second vine of what happened. You got to talk to the kid. You got to see what happened. And then you have to assess what do I need here to send the message to him that he should never, ever, ever do this again. And I think a single game suspension probably gets you that result.
See, I think
in this instance, and that's all you need.
Yeah, I think if Bronson Cafusi were still on the team, he'd say, I'd only get a game for punching a guy?
I might give him more than a game. I don't, but the thing, then you get into, well, it's got to be the same for every player and all this, and I don't buy into that.
No, I agree with you. You have to look at the whole situation. I just think the message needs to be very clear that BYU players, they are held to a higher standard of behavior, that it just is the truth. That's just what it is. And BYU is always going to get a higher level of scrutiny in these situations than if it was the University of Utah or Colorado State or Texas. You know what I mean? There are certain institutions, because of what they represent, that people rightfully or wrongly, and I think rightfully in a lot of cases, you got to do better than that. By all intents and purposes, I don't think this was like, I mean, at ESPN, they're asking whether they should be kicked off the team. Stop it. That's just stupid. You know what I mean? Like, one mistake, if it's isolated, which it appears to be, is not a kick the guy off the team offense.
And June's stupid about that. Is if BYU kicked him off the team, in 366 days, he'd be playing for somebody else's Division I level, and ESPN would be like, oh, look at their Zimri guy, now he's playing for whoever, and look, he's pretty awesome. They would have totally... They'd totally gloss over it.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's only news story because it's a news story today.
We'll all get up on our horse. Oh, he needs to be kicked off the team and all this.
Yes,
come on.
I'm totally with you. Stop. Matt, last thing. BYU is shooting 54%, 347th nationally. Is this going to be – this is the Achilles heel. We're seven games in. This is like – this statistic means something. Are we just going to have to deal with this all season, that at the end of games – unless it's in Emery's or Chase Fisher's hands, you're going to be really nervous about the free throws.
Yes.
Yes. That's just what it is, right?
And I think we've seen signs of this since very early on.
Yes.
But when your Achilles heel as a team is free throw shooting,
I don't like it.
That is a significant problem.
I don't like
it. You get into close games, tournament games, all this. That is a big time problem.
I mean, the good news is I think Collinsworth will shoot better than he has. I think everyone will shoot a little better. I don't think any of those guys are going to finish under 50%. I shouldn't say that. They could. But I think guys will get a little better. But the problem is I don't think they're going to get a lot better. And, you know, you're going to have games where one of those big guys is going to have to hit a couple free throws at the end to help you win it. And this is changing. We'll get into this in a couple weeks, Matt, when we preview the conference schedule. But this is my opinion about this team has changed over the first seven games than it was at the beginning of the year. And the free throws are part of it. Free throws are definitely part of it. Well, Matt, this has been a podcast. I'd like to thank, there were a few of our Rise and Shout listeners that helped crowdfund my novel, which we raised 38 funders and $2,200. So
awesome.
Thank you for those that participated, because now I can pay people. And then, Matt, otherwise, we'll be back next week to preview the bowl game. We'll talk more hoops, all sorts of fun stuff like that. Check us out on Facebook. That's facebook.com/riseandshout. Of course, on Twitter at @BYU_riseandshout. Get all your Cougar news at cougarfan.com. And we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars.
They get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup, but he's driving and striving.